Tom will be speaking, but it's always a delight to have both husband and wife up here, you know? Because we know who really runs the show. I'm only joking. It's a delight to have both of you here with us. And now you have been here, you've been serving the Lord, but also you've been part of our missionary family for how long?
46 years.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think you're making it.
Faithfulness of God.
Amen.
And Carol, it's
a delight to have you here with us.
Sometimes we only have just the husband, but it's always a delight to have the husband. Thank you. How's your family doing?
Family are all well. Our 18 grandchildren. Wow. And our three sons, one daughter, and their partners, spouses, husband, wife.
Amen. How many years have you married?
We just celebrated our 47th.
Amen. I'm offering unto the Lord. Right? Amen. Okay, thank you very much.
Great. Well, it's such a privilege to be here with you all. I just love the worship time. Excellent. Wonderful worship just to set the scene. It makes it so much easier for a speaker when you have a wonderful worship group and just full of spirit, and it's just such a privilege to be here. We send prayer letters occasionally, but there's nothing like standing in front of you and being able to thank you personally for standing with us 46 years. A lot of times you think it's only what's happening within the walls here and on the mountain here, but you know, through your missionary family, those that you pray for, they've been prayed for here again this morning fresh, those that you pray for and those that you support are really the extended arm, the extended outreach of this church around the world. So it's not just what's going on in the mountain. It's so much bigger, isn't it? And we're just privileged to be a little part of that, of your extended witness around the world. And we're going to tell you all about that this morning. Got an awful lot to share with you. If I can get this thing here to work. Here. There we go. I've got a great assignment, a big assignment here. First of all, though, we arrived here on Friday, and we've been enjoying that guest house of yours over there. And Connie and Bev and Dottie, where are you? Stand up. Are they here? Uh-oh. Oh, there you go. Okay, one more. Who's that? Connie and Bev and Dottie? Where's Dottie?
Dottie's here.
Oh, there you are. Just timid to stand up, but thank you so much. Thank you so much, church family, for making the place available. It's been a haven of rest. We've been on the road for 7 weeks, and we were here in December and January, had to go back. Some of you might have noticed in our prayer news there that we had to move unexpectedly in between. We were knocked up before we arrived here 6.5 weeks ago, and we did come. Pastor was right. We came especially for you guys and for a couple other churches to finish up all those that partner with us. And I just want to thank the Lord for you ladies that made me put too much food in there. We didn't eat it all, but maybe somebody can benefit from that. You can see I don't need too much food. But yeah, we've been on the road for a long time. And I turn 72 next week, but you know, when I look at break, I realize how young I am still. Praise the Lord. What a testimony. What an encouragement to us. Been around a long time. It's good to see faces that were here 46 years ago. So nice. Well, I want to begin with you in the Word of God this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 96, if we could. This is really very obvious. It always has been. That's why it's such a privilege to be part of your missionary family here, because you are a missionary church. And we serve a missionary God. You know, God is a missionary God with a missionary heart to send His Son, the greatest of missionaries, to mission field planet Earth to bring the gospel, to die for our sins, and to make it possible for us to go to be with Him forever and ever, sins forgiven, the blessed assurance that we have that Jesus is ours. And I want to begin here in Psalm 96 just to set the tone. I have a big assignment in that I have to bring an update to you all about what we're doing as your missionaries. as really, I like to refer to myself, ourselves as overseas staff. Overseas staff of South Mountain Bible Church. And we just come back every once in a while. I haven't been back for quite a while to report as to what we're doing together, you partnering with us overseas. But we started the Word of God, and then we'll finish with the Word of God today. But in between, we're going to have the first half there, a bit of a report and everything. I'm watching the clock down here. And let's look at Psalm 96. And I want you to notice something. This is a missionary song. And that's why I like this song. A missionary song. It really is showing us the heart of God, the passion of God. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The passion, God's passion for this world and for His glory. But look, watch as I read this aloud, and you read along in your Bible there silently. Watch the terms. Watch the terms. Now, I know you probably have the Pew Bibles there, ESV. I'm reading sort of the New King James here. But notice the terminology here. Notice the global perspective. Look out here as we read this for terms like all the earth. It's a little weak there. I was praying for dark and rain and clouds this morning, so this would be a little bit brighter, but the Lord gave us sunshine. Look for the term nations and peoples, okay? Look at that real quickly here as we read this. Oh, sing unto the Lord. That's what we've been doing this morning. A new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Here it is again. Declare His glory among the nations. See that? His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations, there it is again, all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, here's classic verse, classic missionary verse, look. Give unto the Lord, you families of the peoples. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His court. So worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. There it is again. That's what God's passion and desire is. Say among the nations, there it is again. The Lord reigns. We sang about it, didn't we, this morning? The Lord reigns. That's God's passion, dear friends. That's what God wants. He wants the world to sing unto Him. He wants everyone to hear. Everybody ought to know. Remember that old chorus? Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. We sang there this morning. He's the Savior of all. Yet there's so many that don't even know that. That He is potentially their Savior if they would hear about Him. So who are we? Yeah, we're serving with New Tribes Mission. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second here. But we were with not in the bush in the tribes. We were there for a year, but we're serving with the European Training and Mobilization Team as part of your missionary family. It's all about expanding the reach of the gospel. That's what New Tribes has always been about, taking the gospel to those that have never heard. And we have a 75th anniversary this year, 75th birthday. And I have a little video clip, two clips here this morning. They'll get the sound up there good, to in celebration of the New Tribes' 75th anniversary.
NTM was born out of a need for a channel through which unevangelized people groups might more rapidly be reached with the gospel. In the words of our founder, Paul Fleming,
"His love unto the man might go, even to the unknown populace, and those of you that preach me through the world, to go into their homes, to every time, preaching the gospel, that men might know about Jesus Christ and His saving power."
Motivated by the love of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, NTM exists to assist the ministry of the local church. How? Through the mobilizing, equipping, and coordinating of missionaries to evangelize unreached people groups, translate the scriptures, and see indigenous New Testament churches established that truly glorify God. As missionaries head out, they count the cost, willing to face hardship and sacrifice to see a thriving church for every people. In the early days, when missionaries sought to make a friendly contact with the Ayoré people of Bolivia, they were aware of the risks involved. Cecil Dye wrote, "I don't believe we care so much whether this expedition is a failure, so far as our lives are concerned, but we want God to get the most possible glory from everything that happens." From the world's point of view, the expedition was a failure. 5 men were martyred. But God did get the glory. A friendly contact was later established, and the Iote Church was born. Over the years, NTM has seen God's guiding hand in refining our initial and ongoing training programs. As different nationalities expressed an interest in reaching the unreached, NTM began missionary training centers in multiple countries around the globe. Today, missionaries of various nationalities and ethnic backgrounds serve side by side. Their goal? To see a thriving church for every people. Though our methods continue to change with the times, the message remains the same. Missionaries learn the culture and language well before preparing and teaching foundational Bible lessons that begin with creation and culminate with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then they stand in awe as God gives the increase.
Another you are made. If what told me, what it would be what to me, to time you to me. Any hard symbol over me, it would symbol.
It's not about who we are, but who God is. Celebrate with us as we stand in awe that because of who God is, NTM missionaries are working among 259 people groups. Because of who God is, over 1,200 churches have been planted. And because of who God is, 640 of those have appointed their own elders. To date, 79 New Testaments have been translated, and 110 translations are in progress. In Zechariah 4:6, we read, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." It's all about Him. Let's celebrate as we praise God for all He has done over the past 75 years. God is building His church among every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Well, 75 years as NTM, New Tribes Mission. But all of a sudden, 4 weeks ago, they changed the name. New Tribes Mission has been known by so many people around the world as New Tribes Mission, but now it has a new name. It's now called, here it is, Ethnos 360. A lot of people say, what? What? We're sort of getting used to that as well. Ethnos 360, the reason for the change is that the New Tribes is working among a lot of people groups. Ethnos coming from the Greek word there in the New Testament, peoples or people groups. It's also translated as Gentiles and nations in Scripture, but we're working a lot among a lot of people groups that are no longer tribal, okay? We're working in cities among people groups and in areas of the world that wouldn't be explained as remote or tribal. So it's a good name. It'll just take a little while to get used to us. As you heard there, it's hard to see there, a thriving church for every people. That's what we're really all about. Well, who are we? Who are the Cunninghams? I just want to give you a little bit of background. A lot of new faces here. That's a good sign. I'm a Hagerstown boy. Carolyn's a New England girl. And just like Mrs. Pastor here, Diana, I heard her accent, and I knew right away she'd come from where my wife came from. Same state, Rhode Island. But I was born and raised down in the valley there in Hagerstown. They're saved at Hagerstown Bible Church December 20th. You look on that third window back there is my spiritual dad, Gerald Carball, on the inscription. So there's a real connection right here. It's like coming home up here on the mountain. We went to Washington Bible College. You're familiar with that as well, I'm sure. Carolyn graduated from the last class in the old campus there, 6 blocks from the White House. She came along a year after I did, and she graduated from the new campus there. That's also history. Sad things change, don't they? Sort of by Lancaster Bible College. But we thank the Lord. I had the privilege while I was waiting on Carolyn to graduate to help start what was called then the South River Bible Church in Annapolis. Now called the Annapolis, where we started as the Annapolis Bible Church. It's now called the South River Bible Church. during, and then we went to Hagerstown again for our intern and deputation. Our family, although Cunningham were running around here all these years when we come home, and now they're all grown up, they all know the Lord. Let me go back there a second. They all know the Lord, living in California, New Hampshire, Atlanta, Georgia, and Florida, Orlando, Florida. Where in the world would we ever settle, you know? They're all over the world. And but they know the Lord, they married godly spouses, and they're raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As Carolyn said, 18 grandchildren. And I'm honestly thinking we're still counting. The California, the Floridians have six boys, and I think they're like a little girl. The Lord would be so gracious. So, and then you remember Tim. Thanks for praying for us over 4 years ago when Tim was called home to be the Lord through an accident at work there in Scotland. And he used to sign his emails, delighting in Christ. And I don't know exactly why he capitalized L-I-G-H-T there in that word, delighting. But he is now delighting. He delighted in the Lord in life, very active in our local church there. And he's delighting now in all seeing the glory of the Lord. And thanks for praying for us. It's been tough. It's been tough. He was to bury us in Scotland. He was the only one that stayed over there. And so we've been here missionaries in Austria for 10 years, in England, doing evangelism, church planting in both of those places. We had a printing ministry in Austria. Then we went to Scotland in 1987. We were involved there in Scotland with an established historic ministry there on the Royal Mile and street evangelism, that sort of thing, with another mission with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And too long a story to get into all that. I was sharing a little bit in the Sunday school class. The privilege of working with this historic work that was founded in 1858 as Carruthers Close Mission, down a little alleyway, a little close off the Royal Mile there. The castle's at the top of the Royal Mile, the palace is at the bottom, and our church is right there on the main street in Edinburgh, the old street, the old cobblestone street, there as a witness for the gospel in these days. We were asked to be missionary partners there. Thank the Lord for that opportunity. That was 30 years ago. And we went there, started working with this place as missionary partners. There were only there were 750-seat auditorium, a big room like this, but a balcony around here and around the back there and along here, 750 seats. And in 87, there were only 40 people worshiping there. Very sad sight. So they asked us to come on in a missionary capacity to help the pastor that was there. And we saw the Lord really grow that work, and just phenomenally in the first 4 years, through the dynamic preaching of the Welsh pastor there, a really, really lively youth worker, and the Each One Reach One principle. Really, the students there, we grew from 40 in 87 to 200 in 1991, in just 4 years. We thank the Lord to be able to watch that happen. That wasn't anything that we did. None of us can say that we did that, that the Lord did that. And it was great. And we had 100 of those 200 in those days, 1991, half of the student body, or half of the congregation, were students. Half the congregation students. Man, lively place, exciting ministry. So Caroline became burdened. We not only were involved in mission outreach among the universities, the four universities in Edinburgh, with the students there, and doing discipleship training there with them, street evangelism and that sort of thing, but we were burdened to give them a vision and an opportunity to see what God was doing around the world. So we invited missionaries. We invited New Tribes missionaries to come and actually challenge our students there. And they showed us some of those historic New Tribes videos that showed whole tribal villages coming to the Lord. They're quite well known. And they were telling us about people who want to hear the gospel but can't. And then after we organized these weekends to challenge our students, you know, we were praying, here we are, Lord, send these students. And that's not exactly how it goes in Isaiah 6, is it? We were praying, Lord, send these students. And Lord was really dealing with us, because we go back out on that street there in front of that church where 11 and a half million people go up and down that street. Not just tourists, that's students and business people and locals. People who can hear the gospel but don't want to. And so that's sort of the history of how we got the New Tribes Mission. Oswald Joe Smith wrote this fatal statement here. Why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it once? So we were seeing people groups around the world, wonderful ministry in Edinburgh, but seeing people groups around the world that have no scripture, never heard the gospel. And probably the thing that iced the cake is that passage right there. In our Reach One training, we would look at the Lord Jesus as the master of personal work with Nicodemus, the rich young ruler, and with the woman at the well, classic passage. And as the Lord was dealing with that woman at the well, about her soul, about her need, her spiritual need, the disciples went into the town to buy food, and when they came back, they offered the Lord Jesus food, and he said this, "My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And you know, dear friends, that finishes work translated for us into New Tribes Mission. New Tribes Mission, reaching new tribes until the last tribe is reached. So we got an application. Our co-workers thought we were going through a big midlife crisis. You know, after 23 years and a wonderful ministry there, to go off to New Tribes Mission of all organizations. They sent us to training in Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. That's just up the road here, not near Jersey, not near the shore, but north central Pennsylvania, and we did their full training there. That was hard. 49 years of age. It's never too late to join New Tribes. Beware. 49. Into the jungle camp up in those woods there, right up behind the buildings there, in the woods there where it says Jersey Shore, for six and a half weeks. We were there. You prayed us through. Some of you will remember that. They sent us then to Papua New Guinea. They accepted us into the mission. In Papua New Guinea, we were involved in an interface program out there, sort of an on-site, hands-on, intensive missions course. And we were doing a discipleship program there for the student staff. But guess what? This was a fatal slide. They felt we were too old at 50 to go to a new tribe. The mission just had the wrong name, I think. That's the problem. We were too old to go to a new tribe. So they asked us to go back to Europe and join we'd been there for 23 years, a lot of experience there, to take short-term teams, to represent new tribes, to join the European mobilization team, training and mobilization team. So that's where we've been working, where we still are. With all those names, we were in a church last week, and by the time I got through this presentation, we're one similar. They said, "Now, where are you really? Where are you?" Well, we're back in the UK, working in the UK and Europe, and Germany sometimes, really sharing the burden of reaching new tribes until the last tribe is reached. We've had the opportunity to get around all over Europe in different places, even up to the Faroe Islands up there between Iceland and Scotland. Amazing place up there. Take a short-term team to the Philippines, based back there. So what do we do? That's who we are and where we are, but what do we do? Quickly here, before we turn to the Word of God, what do we do? I like to refer to it as our many hats. We have a multifaceted ministry. What do we do? Okay. First of all, we are representing, as I already said, representing really the need and burden of unreached people groups. Not just an organization, New Tribes, but people who've never heard. We saw them there in New Guinea. We were there. And we go to youth groups and churches, seminars and mission conferences to share the burden, to really challenge folks to take the gospel to the very ends of the earth, to places where it's never gone before, to people who've never heard it for the very first time, in places where there's no infrastructure, no roads, no communication, no places where it's never ever gone before, places where people have never heard of the gospel. People who will maybe not hear the gospel unless someone goes before they die. And young people, to young people who don't know, as we sang there this morning, Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is. His death was sufficient to save everyone. But will only be efficient for those that believe and hear the good news. So we've got to get the gospel to every creature, as Jesus said. Children that didn't even know. Dear friends, imagine this. Didn't even know it was Christmas again this year. There are people like that. So we're involved in challenging and training training. We have a training program in the UK. I have the privilege of teaching in the Bible school. It's a 3-year training program. In the Bible school, I teach the Each One, Reach One class, and also the Firm Foundation of Creation to Christ, the chronological teaching to the first-year students. They learn it again in the second year of the missions course. They actually learn about a tribal culture there, and then they have to teach those lessons again to a tribal culture. So it's amazing. We have a wonderful campus there. Too long a story. The Lord provided tremendously for this campus. It was a former Royal Air Force missile base with the UK Ministry of Defense, and we're involved in teaching students there from all over Europe. It's a great opportunity. French students, Italians are coming there to train to go to the tribes. It's so exciting to be a part of that. So it's essential training we really need. We're just so excited to be a part of training Europeans now. Many of these were mission churches. Now they're sending their own missionaries back out to the tribes and to people who have never heard. We're really mobilizing the next generation. So that's what we've been doing. It's a worldwide team, as you saw in the video, serving in so many different places. And here's another little sampling of where we're serving, just to give you a feel of what's going on. We get that sound up again.
Weeks of teaching. Because you wonder, you know, you spend all these years in language and culture studying, and you just wonder how people are going to respond when they start hearing God's word, if anybody's even going to come and want to listen. One of the old ladies, her name is Muluk, we were sitting on the porch the other day together, and she said to me, niece, she calls me niece, you know, she said, it's like we were asleep. We were eating, we were going to work in our fields, you know, planting our rice and harvesting and just living our lives day to day. She said, but listening to God's word, it's so wonderful. And she said, my liver is just full. She said, it just feels so good, just listening to God's word. One of Dave's translation helpers, his name is Tecido. When they were going through the Ten Commandments with Moses and learning about sin, he just said to Dave, oh boy, if I had all the rocks out of the river, all the heavy rocks and the big boulders and everything, he said, and you put them all together and pile them up in a big pile, he said, that would be like the weight of sin on me. And he said, I can't wait to hear how God is going to, you know, deal with that and get rid of that sin. He said, I just can't tell you how thankful we are that you and Julie came to teach us God's word. He said, we know you've left your family, you've left your home, you've left your country, and I just want you to know how thankful I am. He said, because this message is just amazing. It's been a real hard swell to learn this language, but just such a joy to us to be part of what God is doing there. Dave was a drywall hanger. I was just a clerk who worked for the telephone company. You know, we're not highly educated people, but God, I can honestly say that God has enabled us to do what we do. We know, you know, he's already changing lives. Even though we're only, you know, in the first lessons of the teaching, he's already impacting their lives and opening their hearts and their minds to the light.
So we show these videos, such videos, to folks there in Europe. And I don't know if you noticed, Julie said it's such a joy to have a part in what God is doing there. And I trust it's such a joy to you to have a part in what your missionaries are doing around the world. It's very real, dear friends. It's we're looking to recruit. That's another thing we do. Recruiting partners to have a part in praying and in sending their missionaries. Sending their missionaries, sending their young people and going themselves, short-term and long-term. So that's another thing we do, just really recruiting, taking folks to conferences. We also teach these seminars, this School of Discipleship, this Foundations course that I teach. We've seen so many people come through this course, and also even take the Each One, Reach One, Each One, Teach One seminar, that end up coming with new tribes or going with another mission. That's always dangerous to get into that seminar, especially that discipleship course. And so the Lord's really used it. I also teach a course called Discover on a Thursday, really in memory of our son Tim. He was very much involved with the homeless and unemployed, drugs and alcohol challenged folks, mentally challenged folks, and we're just seeing some real transformation going on there. Also, one-to-one discipling, so many stories to tell about there. Chinese couple that we've been working with for the last couple of years, who through them, really tremendous opportunity. We've got about 35, 40 Chinese coming to the church now through this one couple. And just through faithfully discipling them and encouraging them, they've just really blessed our hearts to see how God is using them. And then just mobilizing, that's it, mobilizing. And you know, they told us, you know, you're too old to go to the new tribe and everything, just go back and trust the Lord to reproduce your life, to challenge and mobilize others. And that's what's happened. We have five couples from our very church there in Edinburgh that have gone. And they've gone with other mission boards and quite a few different missionaries. We're a real mission church like yourselves here. We're very excited about it. So that's really one of the many hacks there. It also includes, finally, you know, hospitality, member care. We have to take in folks that come through, you know, for the mission. And so that's been our thing. Just a few prayer points quickly. We'll turn to the Word. Strength to continue. You know, like I said, with looking at the brick back there, you know, I feel like we really got to do this. And we just ask. I turned, as I said, 72, and we're not ready to stop yet. You know, I see our dear brother over here on his stool, you know, singing out there. You know, that's the way I feel, just really wanting to continue as long as we can. Fruitful relationships, it's so important. Ones that will develop. We're developing more one-to-one relationships with people. We're seeing the Lord recruit them through that. Not through a missionary presentation like this or whatever, or challenge, but through rubbing shoulders, discipling people, multiplying disciples. We just need more laborers. We need especially laborers for the practical ministries to support our missionaries out there. And please pray specifically for the fall enrollment at our UK training, UK and Europe training school there. So very important. We're seeing many fewer folks coming to enroll for the autumn semester, and so we're concerned about that. So we really do want to thank you again for your partnership and your support. And I want to just challenge us in the last minutes that we have here about passion. I like to ask young people in discipleship relationships and youth meetings, you know, what's your passion? You know, what's your passion up here on the mountain, you know? I know there goes some passion right down the street there. We've been hearing those in the night. Motorcycles. That's a passion up here. Cars, maybe. Sports. You know, a lot of young people say sports. But you ever think what God's passion is? God's passion? This is what I believe God's passion is from my own study of the Word of God is this. What His passion is from eternity past and in time and space and history that we're living out right now, and what His passion is and will be forever and ever and ever in eternity future. You know what it is? I describe it with these words here. God's passion is to unveil, reveal, manifest, good old-fashioned word, okay? To show forth, to shine a spotlight on, to showcase His glory. That's what life is all about. That's why He created the world. That's what He's doing. He wants us to see how great and glorious of God. And if you look at the Scriptures that way, if you look at the Scriptures as seeing, you open your Bible and you realize that you're opening this book, this godly book that God has given us, His precious Word, that He's wanting to reveal Himself and His glory to us, all His glorious attributes. I don't have room on here. You already know I'm a PowerPoint freak, right? I like to use these things. And I don't have room enough there for all His names. I'm frustrated by that. Because they also tell us about His glory, don't they? So many names for God. Well, you know, God didn't give us a systematic theology book, a topic of study of doctrine. Aren't you glad? He gave us a storybook. And you know, we never reach these tribal cultures and primitive cultures without it being story. Topical stuff, concepts, they don't think of those terms. They think in terms of story. And you know, it's a storybook, one book, one message, one story. I like to call it the glory story. I read my Bible now for the last 10, 15 years as the glory story. God revealing His glory, showing forth His glory through His Word. It transforms your quiet time. It transforms your relationship with the Lord. You're looking, you don't go there and try to find yourself there. Some of us do that. You know, when you got your yearbook, that was a long time for some of us, wasn't it? You got your yearbook. What did you do when you got your yearbook? It first was published, and they unpacked the boxes, and we all started looking through the yearbook. Who were we looking for? Yeah, ourselves, aren't we? Yeah, that's what we do sometimes in the Bible. And we do need to find ourselves here. We are here. But so much more, the yearbook, this book, is about God and His glory. And when we open it, we should be seeking His face, seeking His glory in the sanctuary, the psalmist said. And you know, glory. I had a young German fellow come to me and says, "Oh, Tom, you're talking so much about the glory in this discipleship course." He says, what is glory? I don't understand that. What is the glory of God? It's the sum total of all that He is, was my explanation to him. His very essence, His attributes, His glorious names are each giving us a glimpse and a display, a facet of who He is, His majesty and His splendor and His glory. The beauties of the Lord, we read about it. The beauty of the Lord. That's what the glory of God is. And this glorious story, dear friends, explains that. The glorious words of God, the wonders of God, the works of God, the wisdom and the ways and the will of God. It's really all about Him. It's like welcome. Welcome to the story of God. You know, Adam wasn't created on the first day of creation. You ever think about that? You know, he wasn't created on the first day, created on the last day of creation, the sixth day, okay? And it's as if, you know, like, Adam wasn't around. We weren't around to tell God how to do it, were we? No. I can see God greeting Adam after He creates Adam. Hello, Adam. Welcome to my story. Adam was to play a role in God's story, as was Noah, as was Abraham, as was Moses. It's all about Him. God's clear passion, dear friends, is for each of us to see that glory, to savor it, to taste and see that glory is good, and to show forth that glory in our lives, and to share that glory. Quickly, four-point outline here. He wants us to see the glory of God. The heavens are declaring that glory of God. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it. This is where history's going. This is what missions is all about. I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall see my glory. Oh, what a wonderful time that's going to be. Dear friends, He created the universe to reveal and manifest His glory. The heavens are shouting out the glory of the Lord. He created the angels. The host of heaven worships Him. He created the angels to bring Him glory, to reveal His great praise and name. He created the earth. We just lost back there, okay? He created the earth. He created the earth to really show forth, declare Himself as an eternally wise, all-powerful Creator, magnifying His glory. Magnifying His glory as a loving and good and caring and kind God. All the colors, all the fragrances, all the tastes, it's all to His glory. Everything could have been brown and red. Everything could have tasted like liver. Maybe some of you like liver. But no, He gave us all these wonderful tastes because He loves us. He's glorifying Himself through that. You know, what does a strawberry taste like? Anybody want to tell me what a strawberry tastes like? How do you explain that? Tastes like a strawberry, of course. But listen, this is all to His glory. All to His glory. All to His glory. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. The plea of the psalmist. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. So He created man. He created man in His image and likeness to reflect His image and likeness, to reflect His glory. That's why He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Not just with a bunch of kids. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Very first command of Scripture. It's really the Great Commission. Fill the earth with what? My image, my likeness, my glory. But we know what happened. Sin came. Sin came. Man lost that. He wasn't just created for friendship and fellowship with God. He was created to reflect that glory. And that glory was lost. That glory was lost there in the garden as the enemy, Lucifer, there. The greatest of angels, of course. We saw the angels created for His glory there. Sinned, and Lucifer just wanted to steal the glory of God. And then He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth with my glory. Fill the earth with His glory, that's what it's all about. But through Adam's sin, through Lucifer's sin. You know what sin, you ever think about the middle letter of the word sin? Can't do this in German. Is what? The big I. We really think it's all about us. What's the middle letter of the word pride? That's what happened back there in heaven with Lucifer. The big I. That's our problem, sin. The essence of sin is the big I. What I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, how I want to do it. I don't care what you think. It's all about me. That's the problem in this world. And then He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, You know, why did he create Israel? Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. He created Israel, raised up Israel, dear friends. He raised up Israel, and you get to the Old Testament, you see so many places and so many faces, you know. But we got to realize that all these characters in the Old Testament, we're doing teaching through that in that Bible class there, and we do that in the chronological lessons that we teach at the Bible school. You just begin to realize, oh, it's all about Abraham. It's all about Moses. The story of, we're going to study the story of Moses now. No, it's really studying God's story and Abraham's role in that. Moses' role in the story of God. A supporting role for his glory. That's what it's all about. The glory story. So he raised up Israel out of the nations to reveal and proclaim his glory. But oh man. Raised up to be a vessel of glory. A vehicle of revelation. To reveal his glory as the one true and living God to the world, to the nations. They blew it. All that unbelief and unfaithfulness. So much of that Old Testament is about that testimony. Of even the spiritual adultery that the Israelites fell into. Dear friends, in spite of all that, God remains constant and unwavering and faithful to his ultimate purpose, his ultimate passion, to reveal and unveil his glory to the nations. John Piper said this, probably no text in the Bible reveals the passion of God for his own glory more clearly and bluntly than this passage here, Isaiah 48. Look at it. Look at this. This is an amazing passage. It tells us what God is really into and what his burden is. For my name's sake, I defer my anger to you, Israel. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off, Israel. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you and in the furnace of affliction for my own name's sake. For my own name's sake, I do it. How should my name be profaned? My glory, I will not give to another. Dear friends, it's all about the glory. He chose Israel. He said, I'm going to be glorified in them. He actually calls them his people. They are to him a name, a people, a praise, and a glory. That's what God's passion is. And he wants us to taste that glory, the savor that glory, the light of the gospel, the glory of God. So that's why Christ came to reveal. He came that we might behold his glory. He who is the brightness, the very brightness of the glory of God. Express image of his person. He came and he said there before he went to the cross, what did he say? I have glorified you on earth, Father. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Are we going to be able to say that? Yes, Father, glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. That's what he wanted to happen on that cross, and it did. Christ died for our sins there. The glory of the cross and the glory of the resurrection is awesome. Where the holiness and the righteousness and the wrath of God was kissed by the love and the mercy and the grace of God. What a birth of glory! So many verses we're finding that way. Just the attributes just piling up on one another in the scriptures. I take Mark in my Bible and burst the sunburst, you know. They're there. It's all about the glory of God. That glorious exchange that took place on that cross, dear friends, where your sin, and my sin was placed on Jesus Christ. And in exchange, he gave us his righteousness, all to the glory of God. He doesn't just make us righteous. He is our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. He is our all in all. That's why he saved us, for the glory of his name. 1 John makes it so clear. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for... Because you're a needy sinner? No. For my name's sake. Dear friends, it's all about the glory. He saved us to reveal. He saved you and I to reveal that glory in us. He wants us to show forth that glory. He wants us to be the praise of his glory. That's his passion. So how can that happen? Who's sufficient for that? That my life and your life might be to the praise of his glory. Well, he did some wonderful things. He gave us a new standing, a new position in Christ. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. I trust you are. New creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He gives a new identity, a new union with Christ, a new wealth. All that is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And dear friends, when he rose from the dead, glory, the glory of the resurrection, where the sovereignty and power and wisdom of God were met by, you know, this wonderful reality that he rose to live in us. Christ lives in us. Not I, but Christ. You know these verses. These two glorious realities. You in Christ and Christ in you, dear friends. That's all That is all to reveal His glory through your life and mine. That's what He's wanting to do. You in Christ and Christ in you and me. We dare to forget this. The wonderful truths, His glorious provision and power. That He wants to actually reveal these, I saw it on the table back there, these communicable attributes of Himself in your life and mine. So that when people look at us, they see His glory. Mahatma Gandhi said something else though, didn't he? He said, I love your Christ, but your Christians I have a problem with. That's so sad. That's so sad that Christians, many Christians' lives are not lived to the glory of God. We have this treasure, this glory in earthen vessels. We got to finish here. You know, whether here it is, whether you never understood this until I saw it in this context, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Yes, everything. That'll change my behavior. That should change the way I dress. That'll change what I do. That'll change my agenda. That'll change my plans. My actions and reactions to one another. Do it to the glory of God. That'll change it. That'll settle everything. Glorify their God in your body. That's what it's all about. So He's calling His church to reveal that glory. And we're to be a special people to declare His praises. We're to be unto Him, you know, unto Him be glory in the church. Oh, God, please. And finally, to share that glory. When you see this glorious salvation, the glory of His story, the glory of God, the glory of our salvation, our position in Him, I can understand Paul saying, woe is me if I don't preach this. It's such good news, dear friend. That's why I said, don't be ashamed of it. It's such good news. The world needs to hear. He's commanded us to preach that glory, that glorious gospel. You know that. Your pastor and I were reviewing this before. We don't have time to go into it. That past, present, and future aspects of the gospel. It's wonderful what God is doing for us. To take this good news to every creature, to make disciples of all nations, to go into all the world and to preach it. Because His passion is that glory among all nations. He says, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. So His clear passion is that all nations, not just us, would see and savor and show and share that glory. Here's where we began, here's where we end. Give unto the Lord, you families of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength, the glory due unto His name because He's so glorious. He wants everyone to hear. It's an unfinished task. But guess what? One day, here it is, last slide. Aren't you glad? A glorious prospect. There will be people from every nation, tongue, and tribe. If we continue to pray and partner with the missionaries and reach out here in this neighborhood, I mean, claim the mountain. I loved it when your pastor said that. Claim the mountain for His glory. I love the sign out there. Love that sign. Make Him more fully known. To know Him more fully in all His glory. And to make Him known. More fully known in all His glory. That's what we want. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You for the blessing of knowing You, the true and living God. Thank You for revealing, manifesting, showing forth Your glory to us. Thank You for Your gracious word, this glory story. Father, may we never read it the same way again. May we seek You there in the sanctuary to see Your glory. Thank You for the privilege of knowing You and making You known. Continue to bless this wonderful lighthouse here, the gospel up here on this mountain. And may many, Father, so many turn away from the gospel. They've rejected for years. Pastor knocking on the door, church members reaching out to relatives, Lord, we just pray as Moses prayed, Father, that You would first of all show us Your glory. Please, he said, show me Your glory. And then, Lord, show this village up here and down around these mountains here, all the homes, show Your glory. May they see it in Your children. May they see it, Father, and to turn to the Lord, to come to know Him, to know a man's life eternal. For Jesus' sake and His glory, we pray.